Hi, dear Movie Breakers. Here I am, Lida Bach, in Cannes with Theodore Pellerin. He is here with his new film, Nino. So far, we've seen you at Berlinale in Lurke, and of course, it was also Sundance.
Yeah.
For that, I think your most well-known role in film was Never Rarely, Sometimes Always.
Mm-hmm.
There you were the creepy guy, but this time you're not a creepy guy. This time you're really human, and it's also your most extensive role. You are almost in every scene of that personal drama. How does it feel to rise so quickly as an actor from...
Thank you. That's very kind and generous. Well, it doesn't feel like it was that... It's been a very quick journey. I started when I was 16 to shoot in Quebec and then to slowly do things in the U.S. And in France. And so it's been kind of a process. It's been part of my life for almost 11, 12 years now. I'm just happy that I have the privilege of doing things that I love so much. And Nino is one of them. From the first time that I read the script, I was just in love with it.
How do you pick your scripts? Like, what does a script need to make you fall in love with it?
Well, that's a hard thing to say why. I think it's like when you read a book that you love, you just want to keep reading it, and you're just with the characters, and you feel like you understand them, and that you are given a window into someone's soul, and that's what I want to feel like when I'm reading a script before I do it. I want to be excited about it, like when I'm reading a book that I love. But it can be anything. It's very hard to say. There are no check marks that I need to be done. It's just you respond to it or you don't, I think. Yeah.
The characters you play, they all have in common that they are very particular types. How do you create that atmosphere about the character that they seem so...
I don't know. I think it's how they're written, maybe, or they're filmed. I don't think I'm doing anything. I think it's maybe the director and the way that they create around the character sometimes. Thank you. I don't think it comes from me necessarily. No.
Your current film is a story about a young man who gets a probably fatal cancer diagnosis, or then has to contemplate what to do next and also console that he might die.
Mm.
That's a very deep and very dark theme for somebody, especially so young. Why did you choose that? What's your connection to death?
Well, one of the things that I think moved me most about the script is that we're telling the story of someone who is very disconnected from life, who is kind of leaning towards death before the movie starts, before the diagnosis. And then slowly, because he is forced out of his apartment because he loses his keys, and during those 3 days, he is swallowed up by the city and the people that he meets. So he's forced into life. I love that we're telling the story of someone who is actually brought back to life by a tangible possibility of death. It's not anymore just something that he thinks or maybe wishes. It becomes a possibility that is looming above him. He is forced into contact. He is forced into physically touching people. He is forced into the world and into also saying something, and there's also he needs to collect his sperm so that he can eventually have children. He's unable to do that. He's unable to talk, and he's unable to orgasm. And it's all so we're telling the story of someone who is actually brought back to life with the possibility of death. It's a throat cancer. It's someone who has trouble talking, saying things. I was very moved by it. I'm not sure how, what, or what resonates personally with me. I just know that it felt a lot in there was universal and human, and that it was a story that made sense.
How did you research that story? How did you prepare to play that character?
So most of the preparation I felt was to be done on who he is before the film starts. So it was done mostly with reading that Pauline gave me. La Nausée by Sartre, I think, was a big part of it. And Un Homme Qui Dort de Georges Perec. So characters who are disconnected from life and are having a real trouble to be a part of it.
Since you are almost in every scene and nearly permanently present, how intense was the shoot? Would you like to tell a bit about it?
It is more intense, yeah, to be there in every scene. Because usually you have some breaks. But then you really become an integral part of the film, and it's kind of rare as an actor. So I'm not sure how, but it is demanding. Also, maybe because you want to keep a sense of freshness for the crew as well. They are your spectators, and you want it to feel alive. So it's a bit easier to feel alive when you come in one every 2 days and then you bring something fresh and you bring something new. But when you're always there, I had a bit of a fear of becoming just part of the background a little bit, not because you don't have enough attention, but because it's just there all the time. And so to keep it, to still be interested in what you're doing, to stay alive, to keep believing in what you're doing and not feeling like, oh, it's boring, or no, keep the cap on the story that you're telling and trust it.
How much influence do you have on the development of the character?
I think it depends for the project. Sometimes a big part of it, and rewriting and stuff. And sometimes the movie, I don't want to change anything. I'm just in love with it. Like with Nino, sometimes I would say, I don't know if that should happen. And we would talk about it and figure it out. But it's really stayed incredibly close to the script in this case. And same for Lurker. But yeah, it depends. It depends on what the needs are and how organic it feels.
You often play characters, at least those three specific characters in Never Rarely Sometimes, Lurker, and now Nino, that feel even though they are technically adults, they feel on the brink of adulthood in this kind of in-between phase in your 20s. Does that have any special significance for you, this kind of...
I think it's... I wonder if it's not something that is always part of us since teenagehood, when we're kind of always in a sort of between... something very close to childhood and then adulthood. To me, Nino feels much more adult than Lurker and Never Rarely Sometimes, as always. And I think it's like the right movie at the right time for me. I was 27 and it was kind of like a new phase for me, feeling myself differently, feeling my relationship to others differently, my ability to connect in a different way too. But I'm interested in that. I think there are always moments when I'm working on a script that I'm like, oh, he's just like a child here, trying to reveal someone's soul. And most of the time we're very close to childhood in very deep ways that maybe we don't even understand.
Part of the story is also the family connection. Mm. His father, or the main character's father, is deceased, and he has a difficult relationship with his mother. There's a lot of warmth, but also a certain distance.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your family relationships, if you want to talk about that?
I'm very lucky. My parents are incredibly loving and very present, very proud and very communicative. And so... But they're also characters, and they're also strange in their ways, and sometimes frustrating, of course. But I haven't known loss of a parent, and I definitely feel free, much freer to talk to my mom than Nino feels with his mom. I think there was it must have been in my head a household of silence. Even as you said, there is warmth, but there is a distance. I think Nino probably in the movie asks questions that he never really asked his mom about his dad, and it's almost 20 years later. To me, reading the script, I was like, wow, it is really a story of freeing speech, maybe because it wasn't allowed or it wasn't welcomed or it wasn't brought to him when he was a kid by his mom. And maybe the more opened figure was the dad that was lost.
You're here now at Cannes. Is it your first time at the Cannes Film Festival?
It's my second time.
How does it feel this time with this film? What feels different?
Well, it feels great. It feels great. Always great to accompany a film that you love. So I love Nino. I also discovered the film for the first time yesterday at the premiere. I hadn't seen it. I didn't want to see it before. So I was stressed. I was nervous. I didn't eat much in the last few days because my stomach was a bit nuts. But it feels very... I was very moved yesterday, very moved to be here. I'm very happy and proud and happy for Pauline, for her first film, to be here. And it feels like the right house for the film to be at La Semaine de la Critique. And so I'm happy. I'm very happy.
You've also been, as we already mentioned, at Sundance and Berlinale. Do you already have, among these and the other festivals you've visited, like a favorite?
No, they're all different. And I'm sure the same festival would feel very different from one year to the next with a different film. So it's hard to kind of say that movie is film festival is my favorite or is preferred. I don't know.
At this moment, what would you love to do in film? Is there something special where you say you would want to go into that?
It's a good question, but I don't. It's not clear to me because anything can be surprising and anything can be great. If it's well written, it all depends on anything can be a great, beautiful human story if it's told beautifully, and anything that sounds very exciting and interesting can be very boring and flat if it's not told properly. So I don't know. I like to be surprised and taken away by something.
At this point in the festival, we've seen a number of debut films from actors who do their first picture. Is that something that would also interest you to direct a film or write a film?
I don't feel so. One thing that I love is to feel like a film is vital. I don't really like to feel like, oh, this is an idea that was found for a film to make a film. Someone wanted to make a film and had to find an idea to make a film. I really like feeling like, oh, this movie needed to be done by this person. Like is the case for Nino. Right now, I don't feel like I have anything that I have to say. I don't feel like I have anything that I need to write down and put into film. I love to accompany great writing and dive into that. But I love actors and I love to accompany great writing. And so I think eventually I would love to direct a play or I would love to maybe direct a movie, but it's not something that I'm actively working on. It is something that I think would be enjoyable to do soon, eventually, though.
At the moment, all the films you've done have also a very strong art house vibe, even if this kind of distinguishing between art house and mainstream is questionable, but they all have been kind of shelved as art house films. Could you also imagine to be in a really big blockbuster or mainstream production, or is that something where you don't want to go?
Whenever something's good, it's good and it's interesting. It doesn't matter the scale, or I did this show on Karl Lagerfeld for Disney Plus, and I loved the writing of it, and it was a big show, and I love to be a part of it. I was in a show called On Becoming a God in Central Florida with Kirsten Dunst for Showtime, and it was a big production, and I loved it as well. So it doesn't really matter. It's all about the writing and the people, and if that we're telling the same story, you know.
Are there specific directors or actors that you would love to work with?
Many, many, many. Yeah. Every day there's someone new that I love. Every time I watch a play, then there's someone that I don't know. Even if the play is kind of boring, I'm looking at someone, I'm like, this actor is great. Yeah, there are many. I mean, I love Justine Triet from, the French director who did, of course, Anatomy of a Fall. I love Joachim Trier. There's so many. There's so many. The Dardenne brothers. I mean, Eliza Hittman that did Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. I would love to work with her again. I think she's brilliant.
At this moment in your career, are you kind of worried that you could be seen differently? Like you have a very positive career so far. Is that something scary? Is it also pressure?
You know what? It is a little bit more than before. Maybe I am thinking a bit more about that, but I think when I love something and I really believe in it, my instinct usually is kind of in the right place, and there is something that is good in it, and it has nothing to do with me. It's just because I'm when I'm in love with something, I love it and I'm proud of it, and then usually the response has been kind of the same, you know, very positive, like with Lurker and you know, it's quite positive. Yes, of course, I would prefer to do things that are good, but I'm sure it's going to happen many, many times. And I've done things that I don't really like.
You mentioned a lot the plays and the theater. Is this something that you want to explore more, act in the theater and on stage?
Yeah, really. I love theater. Yeah, I would like it to become more an active part of my life. I would. It's a bit hard because it's usually very, very in advance, and it takes up like 6 months of your year. And film is very, very spontaneous. And sometimes it's like in 2 months, you learn that you're going to go and shoot that film. So it's a bit hard. I would love to for it to be more a part of my life.
What is for you, apart from what you now said, the time, the biggest difference between acting for a theater play and acting on screen?
I think film is a medium of spontaneity. I'm not saying that right, but spontaneity. So you have to work with all the elements that are there, and it's very delicate, and the temperature may affect how you are, and every little relationship and every little detail you have to kind of take it into consideration and play with it. You have to be very, very alive and accept things and play with them. And in theater, it's different because you get to really, really prepare. Then you get there and you know what you're going to do. I like that process of theater. I like to have time. I like to dream about things, get back to them, forget them, get back to them. I think that makes a lot more sense with acting. And it's different with film. You have to, of course, you can prepare and prepare and prepare, but then once you do the scene, it was that day and it's done and that's it. And it's kind of fixed in time. And I think theater makes more sense with acting. A little bit.
While you're here in Cannes, do you even have time to watch some films also?
I haven't yet had the time, but I'm staying a little bit longer, so I'm going to get to watch some films, I hope.
Are there specific actors who inspire you? They don't necessarily have to be here, like any actors that inspire you.
There's many, many actors that inspire me. I love Lucas Hedges. I think he's brilliant. I think he's an amazing, amazing, amazing actor. I love Mia Goth. I love Paul Mescal. I love Marion Cotillard. I love Léa Drucker. There's a lot. The list goes on and on and on. I love actors.
Final question now, because the time is quickly running out. Do you at the moment have another project upcoming?
Well, the things that I'm shooting next, I'm not yet allowed to talk about them, but there's the movie you mentioned, Lurker, which is going to come out in the US and Canada in August, and then later, I think, internationally. So, Lurker.
You can say maybe so much that you are acting or preparing for a new project already.
Yeah.
And we're certainly excited to see what it is. And thank you so much, Theodore Pellerin. Good luck and have fun in Cannes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You too.